Oh, speaking of spoiler alerts, hey, Avengers Endgame, people died.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. I'm Sunday Morello.
It's me, it's that D-O-double-G.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
Hey, what's up? This is Kaz.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
It's a Mario time.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Make my heart go bada bing, bada boom, bada ba.
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
Ah, spaghetti meatballs and pizza pie.
Heartbreak Mike.
Ah, mamma mia. Spaghetti. Ravioli. Princess Peach.
The Omega.
Help me beat the Bowser and save a Princess Peach.
And the producer, Sir Rockin'.
You rock!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
I love Wrestle Talk Radio, and so should you.
WTR Sunday Night.
Change had much to say, but man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found.
And that's everyone who dies in Endgame. It's a way bigger bloodbath than I expected.
Wow.
I mean, way welcome. Oh. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Didn't know we went live. Hi, it's been a while.
It has.
Yeah, like the song says.
Yeah, it's fitting, huh?
Mm-hmm. So, like every wrestling outlet, we went completely quiet after WrestleMania, because whatever happens after WrestleMania...
stays in WrestleMania.
Nothing happened. There was legitimately nothing that happened in wrestling for...
Yeah, no injuries, no one coming up from NXT.
No one quit.
Yeah, no one quit.
Or tried to quit and couldn't quit.
Or tried to quit, or joined AEW, or anything like that.
Or thought about joining AEW and then... What? Don't get me started on AEW. Let's continue this intro.
So yeah, we are finally back on the air. We got a lot to catch up on. It's a very loaded show, so we better get into it. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, well, we're going to have a heartbreak, Mike.
At some point.
But for now, it is me, the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. And the one and only, Tim Stein.
Yeah, the one and only, because when God made me, he broke the mold. A lot of people think that there was a crack in it before poured, but whatever.
Thank goodness.
I heard that.
Yeah, usually they only break the mold if that's just that bad, but, you know.
So, yeah, we got a little bit of wrestling stuff that we're going to cover tonight, but this is no spoilers. I haven't seen it, but I got a phone call opening night from my son. Dad, let's go see Avengers Endgame. And I'm like, yes, Owen, we'll go see it. Great, when can we go see it? Let me log on and find out when we can go see it. Probably next week sometime. So I get onto the Cineplex Odeon website. Correction. I attempt to get onto the Cineplex Odeon website for the, opening night and for 2 days afterwards. Bad gateway. Time out. The planet broke Cineplex Odeon website.
It broke a lot of online ticket sites.
It was just incredible and amazing. I've never seen that before.
It's kind of the biggest cinematic thing ever, so
Yeah.
Like what's the highest grossing movie of all time? Believe it or not, what's that?
Well, that's Titanic.
Nope. Let me just finish that. You have to adjust for inflation.
Oh, inflation now. All right.
Highest grossing movie of all time adjusted for inflation. You'll never get it.
Probably not.
I could because I Googled, but hey, what is it?
Don't Google. Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, that's what Google says. I could have said, hey Siri, but then Siri would talk back to me and then give me the answer, but I didn't do that.
Yeah, so you kind of sort of cheated. Yeah, Gone with the Wind, just for inflation, raked in a couple $1 billion, or like the equivalent of.
And this is already at 1.2?
It's been up for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Literally.
This is absurd.
This is going to be a $3 billion movie when all is said and done. It'll be in the theaters until SummerSlam.
I mean, 10-year buildup, how could it not?
This is true. Now, my question for you really quickly, seeing as we're talking and we're geeking out a little bit, just, you know, basically killing a little bit of time so Mike shows up for at least part of the show. The hype for this movie is off the chain. We have had movies that have been overhyped like crazy and have never lived up to it. Star Wars. Phantom Menace.
Someone that's not bitter about that one at all. I mean, just by the tone, doesn't sound bitter at all.
I mean, it's no Last Jedi, but
oh god. and yeah, no, the final two of the three movies have proven my point that I've been saying for a good 15 years that J.J. Abrams is a hack, but that's a different story altogether.
Now, Force Awakens was fine. It was what it needed to be to reassure people, hey, we're doing Star Wars again.
And I'm gonna completely disagree with you because it was just basically a rewrite of A New Hope.
Okay, they played it safe, and it's what they had to do. They were coming off the prequel trilogy that's universally panned.
It just wasn't original enough as far as I am concerned. However,
here's the thing. Considering, like, you have that criticism, they say, well, do something different. And then Rian Johnson does something different.
And everybody complains that, well, that's too different. I can understand. And I get the arguments. I do. I understand it. And yeah, you know, Force Awakens, it had its moments. It really did. it was still, you know, in my opinion, it was still, it missed the mark as far, you know, from the hype. But my question to you, are you able to think of a movie that was actually underhyped, that actually exceeded expectations?
Well, I mean, there's always surprises at the theater. There's always movies when, oh, this should be okay. And then when I go and see it, it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is so good. Like, I went into that with the Lego movie thinking, oh, this is just a cute little kids movie. But the comedy and the character and the pacing, everything about that movie was way more than it had any right to be. Well, and it was actually extremely enjoyable.
They played it smart with the Lego movie. It's like, excuse me, like what they did with The Incredibles. They put enough grown-up humor in there that only adults would understand, that would be completely missed by the kids.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
that it kept all ages entertained.
Yeah, but as far as like movies that like have this monumental hype to them and then end up surpassing that hype, like that's a little harder to recall.
I can think of one movie that actually outdid the hype.
Yeah.
Jaws.
No, I wasn't around for the hype on that one.
That was a little bit before your time. Jaws is the first official blockbuster in history, followed almost immediately by Star Wars, but Jaws actually broke the mold. It was advertised very well. It was really, really hyped up a lot for what they had back in the day without social media back then, like we have nowadays. But a whole bunch of people went and saw it, and then they just absolutely loved the shit out of it and started talking about it. And then the next thing you know, people were lined up around the block, you know, blockbuster. And
right.
Like Star Wars, the original movie, which was since dubbed A New Hope when released on video format, that didn't outdo the hype. I would say it matched the hype, the original hype. But to think that Gone with the Wind is actually the highest grossing movie of all time when you adjust for inflation is kind of mind-boggling.
So do you ask me that as to, like, is this movie outdoing its hype, or?
Here's the thing. Just before the worldwide release, and it did a record in China on Wednesday, $108 million in one night. The producers, the director, the cast were sharing a letter written by the executive producers and all the big wigs at the Universe Marvel or whatever it was. He's saying, listen, go watch the movie, enjoy the movie. Don't spoil the movie. Technically, yeah. It's been out since Wednesday. I haven't heard shit, which is amazing.
I have heard a few stories about people having, like, just jackasses going through the line or bursting into theaters and spoiling the endings.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, it's the age of the troll, so that shit happens. I also heard someone did that in Hong Kong, got the shit beaten out of them.
Well, that would be understandable and well-deserved, not that I'm a very, not that I promote violence.
I don't want anyone to get hurt, but, you know, I'm not going to stop it either.
Well, here's the thing, okay? If you do something to deserve a black eye, you're going to get a black eye, period. Don't do something to deserve it. You won't get one. And, you know, that's a little old school. That's how I grew up. But, the only other movie I can think of where people did, for the most part, generally speaking, I'm not talking about the 5 or 15 idiots that we've had so far with Endgame, but, the only other movie that I can think of where people would not talk about it for a year until it left the theaters was The Sixth Sense.
You know, I do recall it being a while before I heard the big twist to that movie.
Yeah. And that was just amazing and organic. There was nothing at all saying, hey, guys, don't say anything about the movie when you see it.
Well, in this, it's like this is such a cultural thing because not only is it a worldwide phenomenon, the entirety of the Marvel Universe, this is 10 years. This is the people who grew up watching these movies. A 10-year-old kid who grew up on the cartoons is 21 years old now, an adult watching the culmination of all of it. You know, and this is the internet age, so everyone's been connected. And so there's almost a hive mind thing going on. No one wants it spoiled for anybody because everyone who's followed it this long knows how monumental this is.
Yeah. And, of course, you're talking about all of the 21-year-olds now that started with, watching Iron Man. It goes back even further than that. The comic book geeks of the 70s. I mean, most of these characters were around as early as the 60s, like Spider-Man, for example. And, I'm not going to lie. And I don't have any, hesitation admitting that I was a comic book kid. I mean, I couldn't wait to get my hands on the new Iron Man. Was my favorite comic. And so when I found out they were making a movie, I'm like, yes. And then I find out Robert Downey Jr. is going to play Tony Stark, and I'm like, they couldn't have cast it better.
No, that's why he's been the main character and the backbone of this entire 10-year franchise. He's the most ideal casting, right down to their shared past with alcoholism.
Yep. I mean, and he looks like the guy, like the way
Tony Stark.
The way Tony Stark was drawn in like 1974 is like somebody got a picture of Robert Downey from the future, like from 1974's future and sketched that out because it's so bang on. It's just scary. And I'm not talking about, you can grow the Tony Stark goatee and dye your hair dark and whatever, but no. Dig out a comic from the 70s from Iron Man. You'll see what I'm talking about, which is really good. So to make a short story long, I finally got onto the Cineplex Odeon app and bought tickets for Endgame.
Congrats.
Wednesday night at 9 p.m. And then I realized after I bought the tickets, because Owen wanted to go see it, and I'm a great dad, and, I love treating my son. 9 o'clock at night on the other side of the city from where I live, and it's a 3-hour movie. So we're going to get out of the theaters, the Crowfoot Cinema at probably 12:30 Thursday morning. Then I got to take him home. Then I got to drive home to my house. I have to work Thursday morning. I've got to be out of bed before 7 in the morning. Oh, my God. This had better be one hell of a movie.
Oh, it is. Trust me. Trust me. Like, part of me is thinking, like, okay, you are a good dad, and I respect you for this. And the other hand is like, you're not going to regret it. You're really not.
Well, I'm a big Marvel fan to begin with, so I am looking forward to it. We saw Shazam a couple weeks ago.
I heard it was good. I never got the chance to go see it.
Well, I'm of two minds about it. Owen really, really enjoyed it. I was disappointed as a son of a bitch because they took Shazam and they made it PG Deadpool.
Okay, explain.
It was really good. It was really funny. There's a bit of snark to it. It's a great movie. I'm disappointed because it wasn't the Shazam I grew up with. So that there's that disappointment. I mean, like, for me, when I was again going back to the 70s, when I was a really little guy, Saturday mornings wasn't just cartoons. They actually did TV shows, like, aimed at kids. And one of the TV shows was Shazam. And so my experience with Shazam was that early 70s TV show.
Now, was it Shazam, or were they still calling him Captain Marvel? Because that was the comic book name. That was the whole thing for a long, long time.
Yeah, no, on the TV show, it was Shazam. I mean, he had Billy Batson yelling out, Shazam! And he'd become Captain Marvel, but he was still Shazam.
Well, the cry was always Shazam.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
as, well, a magic, always. as a magic word thing, but, like, there was always this huge dispute between Marvel and DC over Captain Marvel as a name.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with you on that one. What I'm saying is that, like in that TV show, he was known as Shazam as well as Captain Marvel.
Oh, that's not confusing at all.
Not in the least bit, but he was more Shazam than he was Captain Marvel.
Okay.
If that makes any sense to you. It's like Captain Marvel's first name is Shazam.
Captain Shazam Marvel.
There you go. You got it.
Well, I'm not going to argue anyone's childhood.
Anyway, yeah. If you know anything about the 70s, let's face it, it was a collective hangover from the 60s, which if anybody tells you they remember, they weren't there to begin with.
You know, I had a dream the other night where I can remember it was – I had a lot of fun in it, and I would have stayed in that dream for a lot longer, but my body was ready to wake up, and I spent the whole day trying to remember, and I couldn't remember for the life of me what was so fun about it, but I really enjoyed it. I knew that much, and I figured, oh, wait, that's the 60s.
I hate those dreams.
I knew I had a good time, but I don't remember what it was.
There you go. I hate those dreams because they're so vivid, and it is like, okay, this is such a good dream. Your actual conscious brain wakes up enough to say, I'm going to remember this. Then you wake up in an hour and you forget completely within 30 seconds what it was.
Fucking annoying, man.
That's why I have endeavored to be a lucid dreamer.
Lucid dreamer. Now, I know of lucid dreamers. I didn't know you could endeavor to be one.
Well, you have to work at it. It's something that will, in some people, it will happen naturally. And in other people, you can become a lucid dreamer if you know how to work at it. It's really tricky.
Okay. You want me to work at sleep now?
You work at, okay. Let's just clarify this for the people listening who don't know what lucid dreaming is. You're sound asleep. You're having a dream, but you are able to consciously control what goes on in your dream. That is lucid dreaming. And I discovered lucid dreaming. I used to have nightmares all the time, and I'd wake up with my heart racing, and I'm in a cold sweat, and my eyes are just popping out of my head. And I can remember halfway through a nightmare one time, I wasn't going to let it scare me anymore, and I literally took over the dream because I was tired of waking up scared, which is kind of weird, but I went to sleep thinking this, and I think that's what triggered it in me. And so now, whenever I have a nightmare, it's like watching a horror movie. I'll wake up if it's a good, you know, if it's a really wild nightmare, I'll wake up feeling, wow, that was awesome.
Bag of popcorn by the bed, just in case.
Have you ever had a bad dream that you thought was awesome that you had that bad dream?
No. No. Like, I don't really have, like, nightmares, like, wake up cold sweat dreams in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, my brain prefers my horror to be completely existential.
Okay. that's a rather esoteric way to live, don't you think?
It's my brain. I don't control it.
Yeah, okay. Good enough. But yeah, lucid dreaming is legitimate. I think that we've rambled on long enough. If you guys are going to go watch Endgame, yeah, don't spoil it for everybody else. But, Omega, I think it's time we started talking a little bit about wrestling.
A little bit.
Just a touch. Diving right into it. There's a rumor out there that Sasha Banks wants to leave WWE. In fact, that rumor has been percolating since before WrestleMania. In fact, it's the first time I heard about it. You've heard about this, have you not?
Yeah, I would say WrestleMania definitely accelerated that rumor.
And the whole idea that she's upset is because of the direction of her character now that she's up in WWE. I mean, how long did Sasha and her tag team partner hold the belts?
Not a long time.
It was like around 6 weeks or something like that, wasn't it?
I would have to go look. It was like part of what's upsetting her so much is the fact that she was, you know, like the way they booked them and the way they were putting them on each show was supposed to be like, hey, we're building this up to be a really serious and credible title. And, you know, you would expect that to mean you'd keep the belts on one set of champions for a while. You know, yep. And actually build up their credibility. And the first title defense out, they job them out to what is essentially a joke team.
And here's the thing about that. They've kind of been doing that with Sasha. Every time she's won a title, she can't hold on to it at a pay-per-view.
Well, not even that. Not even at a pay-per-view. She's lost it on Raw.
Yeah.
Like Corey Graves brings it up on commentary. Banks is great at winning championships. She just can't keep them.
Yep. She's not good at keeping them. And here it is. Down in NXT, yeah, okay, she was legit the boss in NXT. Not so much up on Raw.
She's had injury issues that have certainly held her back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, even when she's there and healthy and fresh, it's like the writers always want to use her, but they don't want to use her in any successful way.
No, they want to use her to get other people over. They were using Sasha to get Charlotte over after Charlotte was made by Natalya on the main roster. And they were putting her in a situation where creative is saying, okay, you're losing because she's Ric Flair's daughter and we need to push her as Ric Flair's daughter, which is basically what wound up happening. Yeah. I get it. It's frustrating, but is she overreacting? Because we're not telling tales out of school when we remind everybody it's a freaking soap opera.
I mean,
wrestling is predetermined. Yes,
yeah.
The moves in the ring are real and you can get seriously hurt, but it's predetermined.
I mean, on one hand, yes, it's nice to hold a championship and be recognized as like a world contender. You know, at the same time, it's just show. Like the belt's a prop. Like if they want to acknowledge you as the champion, that's great, but it's not the only thing going on. It's not the only reason why you exist.
Yeah. I mean, does Captain Kirk need the Starship Enterprise to be Captain Kirk? It's a TV show. Get over it.
No, it's I understand what she's going through.
Yeah.
Cause like it does have to be frustrating to have so much popularity and like there's some ego here to it. Cause she knows she's really good. We know she's really good. This, you know, so to actually having to keep drop titles and having to keep getting put back down and essentially kind of discarded or forgotten about, it does get frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, cause, you know, you should be like Sasha Banks has all the tools to be like the head of the division or the top heel on either brand. And she's just not, you know, Michael Cole shouts, it's boss time every time she comes out. But how long has it been since she's been the boss of anything?
A long time. Now, here's the problem. This, to me, this basically bleeds into creative. And the one thing that I know you'll agree with me on, creative can be very stubborn. They'll shove one idea down your throat. It doesn't matter how you react to it. All they care about is that you're reacting to it. Yeah. I mean, for the longest time in wrestling, that was fine. That was the way it was. But anything and everything that is going to survive and continue has to evolve. Creative, and it's not just WWE. It's a lot of different wrestling shows have a hard time evolving. They're, one-track mind. We're going to force this down your throat till you accept it. And like I said, even as late as the mid-90s, that worked. As late as the late 90s, that worked. I'm not going to say fans today are smarter than fans were in the late 90s. I would say they're more sophisticated.
I'd say they're certainly pickier.
Yeah, pickier. Something else to do with it. There's a lot more out there where people are more concerned with how it affects them first, as opposed to how it affects everybody. And so there's some of that into it. But here's the thing. Look at it organically. How many times have we seen WWE drop the ball when they had the chance to turn a character babyface or heel because of the fans' reaction to it? They could have turned Roman Reigns heel and he would have been accepted like crazy. They could have turned Braun babyface a lot sooner than they did because the fans demanded it. And it would have gone over like gangbusters. But they stubbornly held out and kept saying, no, we're staying this course. We don't care if it leads into a dead end.
I mean, we just called it a soap opera.
Yep.
We view it as a long, ongoing story. But in a soap opera, you don't have a live reaction to feed off of and read.
There you go.
Thank you. There's an element of pro wrestling where you have to take the stand-up comedian's approach and read the room. If you've got material planned and that material isn't working, you can't stick with the material because you're going to bomb.
You went exactly where I was going to allude to, and you did not use any of the phrasing that I'm about to use, but you're saying the exact same goddamn thing. As far as being a soap opera or a live theater performance versus stand-up comedy, and being able to read the room, when you're stand-up comedy, reading the room is, yeah, that's organic, but also it's interactive. And the only soap opera on this planet, live theater, that's interactive, that's not avant-garde and really dumb, and people say it's really cool because they don't want to look like idiots around their friends, is professional wrestling. You've got to pay attention to how the crowd reacts. There are different types of bad reactions and different types of good reactions, and you've got to learn to read the reactions. And this is why we got stuck with Braun and Roman in the roles that they were being forced to play when the fans didn't want it. And the only reason why it's not going on right now with Roman is because he had to bugger off for several months to get his leukemia back into remission. Coming back, 99% of the people, upwards I would say, are very accepting of Roman because, hey, he's come back from cancer, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Whereas when he left, it was maybe 74% of the fan base were behind him. And that's being generous. And they could have done so many different things. Right? This is the problem I have with creative.
You can say the same thing like someone like Braun Strowman, where they did go with the crowd. The crowd started to react good to Braun and all the feats of strength. So they made him babyface. They started giving him nuance, you know, coming out with the giant cello to mock Elias.
Yep.
Okay.
They started doing it after going back and forth and being wishy-washy about it. Yeah, they did, finally.
But they actually started giving him elements like, he could be funny and still really intimidating. And
yep.
You know how hard that is to find?
It ain't easy.
No. Like, I would argue in moments you could say the Big Show could do that. But the Big Show also got clowned out so much it was hard to take him seriously after a while.
Yeah, Big Show coming out. Is he a babyface or a heel this week? Well, wait a minute. What happened last month?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What did the coin flip say this week?
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah,
but
but when it comes to Braun, like,
it took creative too much time.
I wouldn't even say it took him too much time. It's just like they totally forgot. Like, oh wait, we were getting a good reaction as a face. They flip him heel again out of nowhere, just because, hey, we need a bad guy and he's big. Okay, he's big, scary. He's a bad guy again. And now they're kind of running him as a face again, but now, like, we're getting into the Big Show territory where I'm not sure exactly what he is anymore, but because he keeps doing this, he's lost a lot of steam.
Yep. And it'll take him a little bit to build it back up, but I'm sure that'll happen eventually. Sticking with talking about Korea, but apparently there's a bit of a shakeup. If you remember back to WrestleMania, the Bret Hart Hall of Fame speech thanking Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, Vince didn't want to be thanked. Why? I don't know.
There's something about that where I kind of understand where that's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a night for him. It's a night for the people that came up in the business.
It's like, don't bring up my name. It's not about me. It's about you guys.
Yeah, like, I don't think he,
those
yeah.
guys.
I don't think he wants accolades and credit for other people's talent.
Yeah. Excuse me. But, Robert Evans, because of that Bret Hart speech, he wound up quitting. Isn't that a little bit of an overreaction?
We don't know. It was a situation of, you can't fire me, I quit.
Basically, pretty much.
Yeah, he was basically just jumping the gun because that was gonna be what happened.
You've got a choice. You can give us your 2 weeks notice or we can tell you you're fired. That's a little heavy handed. I mean, you know, it went, how many people proofread all of this shit before, it goes to the final portion where it's read live on the show?
I mean, apparently no one.
Right. You would think that it went through many a whole bunch of different levels. It should have. Most things do. So, I don't know. But also, happening on SmackDown, Road Dogg stepped down as the head writer. And, Omega, I gotta tell you, I'm happy to find out that this is what happened.
Well, happy to find out he stepped down, or?
Yes. Don't get me wrong. I love Road Dogg, and, he's great, especially as, you know, the wrestling character. But this is the guy that told people on social media the titles don't matter.
Why the hell are we watching? Wins and losses don't matter.
Yeah. And behind the scenes, they don't, really. But to the fans, they do. Again, soap opera, I know, I get it. But when you're watching this TV show and the protagonist keeps getting beat down, you're getting built up for when he finally wins. Like the Flash fighting the Reverse Flash on the TV show, going back and forth, and the Flash is constantly losing week after week after week after week. And then all of a sudden, finally, oh, I gotcha. And the viewers will respond to that. You can't tell them that it doesn't matter.
We've had that in pro wrestling. It's called Hollywood Hogan.
Yeah.
It's like, how many people tune in just to see if Hogan would lose that title finally? Just to see if who could actually beat Hogan in the NWO.
Well, didn't you watch a Barry Horowitz match just to see if maybe he'd win one?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. No, but once he won a match, yes, Yeah, that could happen?
Well, let me ask you this. When he finally won a match and it happened to be against Triple H, how big was the explosion?
That was That was big.
Right? Yeah.
Was Triple H? I thought it was Skip.
He beat Triple H, then he beat Skip.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was Triple H first. It doesn't matter much. How many people are going to remember Skip after Triple H got beat by Barry Horowitz?
I mean, we'll backtrack that. How many people are going to remember Skip, period?
Okay, points. There's a point.
But no slight on Skip. Skip, if you haven't been listening, no one cares about you.
Yeah, whatever. But you know, getting back to Road Dogg, this is, like I say, I love Jesse.
Hold on.
You know,
hold on.
Right? What?
Skip was Chris Candido. You're just like throwing him away.
No one cares about Skip. Chris Candido? Yes, absolutely care about Chris Candido.
But Chris Candido, different story. We're talking character, not the wrestler.
When did you know who Skip was? Just throwing in facts. That's all.
Okay, we know who Skip was.
All right, back to your show.
Where was her? Anyway, yeah. Like I was saying, Road Dogg, don't get me wrong. You know, love him as a character, love him on, and let's admit those of us who, had a chance to interview him always had a great time with him on the air, along with the badass Billy Gunn. But he's one of the guys that I keep bitching about who can be a little bit stubborn. Sure, SmackDown had some really, really good writing, but I think that for as good as some of the stuff he's done, the stuff that he's done that wasn't good was really bad.
Yeah, it's hard to accept because SmackDown has done a far better job of writing than Raw has.
Yeah.
It just has. It's got more interesting characters. It's got more interesting buildups. You know, the stuff they've done with, like, The Miz and Shane and Kofi and Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord, what they were doing with Samoa Joe. Raw doesn't come close to any of that. Raw doesn't hit that personal level that a lot of those feuds did. None of them hit the fans on the level those storylines did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, Road Dogg's involved in that. I don't know how much. Like, I don't know how much the good is going to suffer just to get rid of the bad here.
Yeah, that's something we're going to have to stay tuned to find out. Hopefully, like I don't have any word on who's replacing him, but hopefully it's somebody good.
I mean, that'd be the general hope in any situation where someone's getting replaced.
Yeah, we don't need any more Hollywood writers to replace guys who've actually been in the business. So.
Oh, come on. What could more Nickelodeon writers hurt?
Oh my God. why don't you just get the entire writing team that put together You Can't Do That on Television from YTV?
I mean it's an option.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure some of them are still working.
Well, you know, here's the thought. Why don't you find everybody who's ever written a DC movie and blackball them?
Like with an actual 8-ball? I could do that. I want to do that.
Like, no, just tell them, hey, listen, you wrote a DC movie? Okay, you're automatically barred from ever applying for a writing job for professional wrestling. Yes, I'm taking a swipe at the DC universe.
how bold and original.
There you go. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll find out who replaces him and if it hurts SmackDown. Hopefully. Not, especially with the move to Fox, right? So
you would think that every move to the positive right now, every one of their strongest efforts would be toward SmackDown at the moment.
Just because finally they're on a major network. We're not dissing USA, but let's face it, it's not one of the top four.
Yeah, it's not broadcast.
And Fox was the first network to actually experiment and get edgy. Married with Children, The Simpsons, right?
Yeah, and they need a lot more TV shows now because there's not a lot left.
Nope. this is true. But another notable name leaving, Dean Malenko, the man of 1,000 holds. Over 10 years as a WWE producer, he quit the company.
Well, that sucks.
Well, no word on why. That's the problem.
Do you think it has anything to do with Arn?
What, you do?
It wouldn't surprise me just as long as they work together.
Yeah.
For that to be like a catalyst to like, oh, okay, time to make my way out. Because it is fairly close together.
Mm-hmm. It's possible. It's like, well, okay, somebody I've known for like 25 years, yeah, maybe there's writing on the wall, but I'm not going to stick around to read it.
I mean, it's just pure speculation. Like, 100%. I have no idea why.
Okay, yeah, I just got one thing to say, and this is directed at you directly, Omega. Get out of my head.
it's like pure speculation, but I could easily see where that would have some influence over the decision.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh God. Talking about having influence. What's in the name? You're supposed to say a bunch of letters, but you decided not to because that was too obvious.
Yeah, I was going for something else. Like, God damn you, God damn you.
I'm just trying to get in your head because you've been doing that to me all night.
No, no. It's like when we're talking about WCW people and you go to that particular phrase, I think back to my mom finding out that there was a wrestler named Chris Benoit.
What?
Because all she knows is Benoit as a sex toy.
Oh, God. Okay, I don't need to... I'm not going to delve into that one.
Oh, hi, Heartbreak Mike. Good timing.
You're talking about your mother and sex toys, Omega.
Pure rage.
Hi, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Are you awake?
No, I'm awake. I was not looking forward to the sex toy.
Did you make lots of sandwiches today?
Sure, we could say that.
Okay. I didn't make any sandwiches at all.
Oh, dear.
So we were just about to talk about name change of the tag team or faction or whatever you want to call it.
Yay. Let's talk wrestling. Let's talk this out.
There you go. Okay. I was just about to, hey, Omega, what is the name? What's in the name? And then you talked about Benoit balls.
It reminded me of something weird, okay?
No kidding. I'm kind of somewhat surprised you knew what that was. Anyway.
Well, I didn't until my mother, which is an extremely disturbing thought now that I put it to words.
And now it just gets even weirder because this is the second time you brought your mother up in the middle of a conversation.
No. This is the same conversation. This is the same conversation I was elaborating.
But it's the second time that you brought your mother into the conversation when we're at what we're. Okay, you're gonna have nightmares tonight. You're not gonna be able to sleep.
Teach me the lucid dreams.
There you go. you do.
Teach me Obi-Wan.
Before you fall asleep, I'm not going to think about my mom and sex toys. I'm not going to think about my mom and sex toys.
That sounds like it will work perfectly fine and have repercussions. See, on my psyche.
Yeah. Okay. No, you caught me out. I was hoping that you would do that because that's all you'd wind up dreaming about.
You were hoping I'd dream about that?
I was trying to get you to do that. Just, you know.
You guys drive me to drink.
What are you drinking, Mike?
Whatever was in the fridge.
It reminds me of being 15 years old and raiding the old man's liquor cabinet. We grab a beer bottle that was empty, wash it out, and fill it with a little bit of every single fucking booze he had in there. Rum, rye, vodka, gin, didn't matter. Everything went into there until we had 12 ounces of hard liquor. And oh my God, I think I discovered how they came up. Oh, that stuff is terrible. Ugh.
And speaking of terrible, so as we're discussing what is a name, the War Raiders.
You mean the Viking Experience?
Are now known as the Viking Experience, FKA the Viking Raiders.
No. They're known as the Viking Raiders, FKA the Viking Experience.
One of them, to me, they're going to be the War Raiders.
I got no problems with Vikings. Hell, that's, you know, my ancestors were Vikings.
I mean, I don't either, but the Viking Experience sounds like a really bad porn. It does.
The Viking Viking.
Oh, don't you dare.
I was just going to say one of those really overpriced tours.
Yeah.
Like a ride at Universal Studios.
Oh God.
Viking Experience. Arr!
Like, I get it. You know, they can't use War Machine cause, hi, Marvel. Lawsuit. War Raiders, like, they caught on right at NXT. Caught on, chanted, you know, the theme song specifically, you know, war, war, war. Now it's like, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, keep going.
All because that, you know, we can't use the word war anymore. We can't use that anymore. Like it's a bad image in WWE.
War, huh? What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
I mean, that's what you deal with when you've got, you know, a board of directors and shareholders and whatnot. You know, you have to make creative choices just to keep people happy and keep the network happy with you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I get it. I get why they can't name them War Raiders on TV, but Viking Experience is literally the worst option they could have gone with.
I was scared because they did the Viking Experience, and I'm just like, oh God, what are you guys about to call Asuka and Kairi Sane?
Oh God. Really bad. Really, really bad pun just hit me. Omega, get out of my head.
No. But it's so spacious inside.
insert pun here.
I'll just say it has something to do with sushi and move on from there. I knew you were thinking it.
No, I wasn't.
Somebody
Thank God
was.
It wasn't.
Somebody was. Oh, wait, that was me. Never mind. Move on.
To me, it's like the moment you come up from NXT, you're screwed. Some of them. Hell, all of them. The moment you come up from NXT, you're screwed, whether you like it or not. The moment Vince has his claws on you, yeah. It was fun. Time to send you packing. That's literally what it's acting like. And then, because Vince is treating some of NXT like a joke. And we, as a lot of wrestling fans, don't like that. Like, first the War Raiders. I'm sorry. The Viking Raiders.
I'm sorry. The Viking Experience.
I'm sorry. The Viking Warriors.
Don't do that. Oh, God. And then creative.
Why don't they just call them the Ultimate Vikings? That way they could sue themselves for copyright infringement.
You know what? I didn't even think about that. But
that's why I'm here.
Oh, dear. But nevertheless, Jesus Christ. Creative is getting worse and worse and worse. And then they're recycling a lot of creative, you know, character storyline stuff, creative, gimmicks and things like that. Because, you know, Tim, can we go to the next part? The mustache?
No, cause I haven't gotten to talk a bit about this.
Okay, well then go ahead and please talk about this, cause the next one I'm, ooh. And rant.
Slow your roll, hold your water. We'll get there.
It's frustrating because it seems so childish. Like, I understand you can't use War Raiders. Like, on a network television show that's supposed to be family friendly, having an entire crowd chant war is not going to go over too well. You know, it's just not. Viking Experience is terrible. They change it to Viking Raiders. A poll comes out asking about the Viking Warriors. Okay, your problem here isn't the Raiders part. You need to call them the Raiders. Just for the sake of keeping them attached to their NXT characters, just so you have that to come up with them.
Yeah.
It's how 80s it is to focus on the Viking part, to rename them Eric and Ivar as traditional Viking names, to insist on the Viking part because their ring attire is Viking motif. A lot of wrestlers have different motifs to them. You don't.
I was just gonna say, I was half expecting to see Ragnar come out with them.
We'll see, this is gonna continue. Like, they'll do the Jake the Snake thing, come out with like a gigantic boa constrictor, and they'll call it the World Serpent.
Oy vey.
But that's like, it's scary because it's the kind of thing that comes across a lot in WWE writing. You know, we see on SmackDown, like, Rusev and Shinsuke are heels because they're foreigners, and they're together because they're evil foreigners, you know, for no other reason. You know, we see, okay, these guys are Vikings, so let's just go, they dress like Vikings, so we're going to just go hardcore on the Viking trope, which is so freaking dated. Like, it's got no place in your, air quote, reality era, where most guys are just really tough guys. Like, you could simplify it. You could call them the Norsemen, still be in that realm without being cartoonish about it.
I love that idea. Just call them the Norsemen. Because Vikings didn't call themselves Vikings. They called themselves Norsemen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because, well, see, the problem is they're not, they're not thinking.
This isn't new.
Exactly. Because we're all in agreement. No, they're not thinking because they want something that'll sell money. And that's why I'm very scared, because once you go to the main, like I said, once you go on the main roster, you're fucked. AKA Heavy Machinery, The Ascension, Andrade.
I think they know what they have with Andrade, but he's still fairly new to the main roster.
Yeah, but still. Mustafa. Ali.
Poor EC3.
What are they doing with EC3? Like, nothing. Really? Exactly. And EC3 can really cut a man. What?
It's not a big wrestling company, but an entire wrestling company patterned themselves after the dude. You'd think he could carry something on Raw.
Yeah, right. They're not giving him the time. Instead, Lars Sullivan is beating the crap out of everybody.
Yeah. Giant ugly monster number 386 in the WWE library.
Yep. Vince is getting off every time. But what do I know? You know, it wasn't my fault.
Oh, get over it. It was all your fault. You're the one who's responsible.
You didn't get the joke, but okay.
you're asking us to remember Snitsky.
Hey, see, if they were really smart.
It wasn't my fault.
They could have been like, what happened to that kid? What happened to that baby that Snitsky punted?
Oh, his name is Lars now.
Yep.
I mean, it was a plastic baby, so it'd be a hard sell. But then again, a plastic hand came up.
Okay. Moving on.
And go ahead, Omega. I'm sorry.
No. I'm pretty much cool here.
Okay.
Okay. Really quickly, go ahead. Sorry.
This is another one of those classic WWE ideas that you can fix in about 10 seconds of actual thought. And it's getting scary how many of those there are.
Well, you kind of fixed it in 3 seconds with the throwaway name that would stick like glue. The Norseman. Get over the, get over the Raiders. Just call them the Norseman. Anytime you talk about them, you can call them Raiders. That's what Norsemen were. It'd still work. Anyway, whatever. Okay, Mike, you wanted to talk about the paper towel man.
Yeah, but I'm out of booze.
Brawny.
Oh God. Why WWE? Why? And how do you grow a mustache that quickly? Like,
well, he is from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
I get that, but it's like that. It's in perfect alignment, and I'm like, dude, this mustache has been reused so many times, and I hate it. And now he's Robert Roode. So what are you trying to say, guys?
Well, that mustache is Rick Rude's old one.
Yes.
They brought it out of retirement.
Nah, they gave it to Cody.
Out of the vault.
Yeah, they brought it out of the vault, gave it to Cody, put it back in the vault, and yeah, y'all don't remember, he got the mustache. And then giving it to Bobby Roode.
Bobby's going to come out in tights with a picture of his face on the crotch.
I hope not. Oh gosh. And then he's going to have longer hair.
He'll have a grizzly bear on the backside.
Why can't we just have Team Canada?
Didn't TNA try to do that?
Tried.
Eric Young is supposedly on Raw. He hasn't shown up, but
no,
he's there.
He hasn't yet. So that's why I'm like, alright, where are you? This is the point in time where it's like Robert Roode and cue Eric Young. And now. No? Okay. And no? Okay. No, we're not doing it tonight. Yeah, we're screwed. Leave the moustache alone, Bobby. Just let him work heel. Let him be.
He's going to work heel.
Give him back the original glory. Leave the mustache home. I don't care. Just give me back glorious, regular Bobby Roode. Like,
I'm just really pissed off that we didn't see Bobby Roode at WrestleMania coming out to a live rendition of Glorious.
It's going to happen probably next year.
Should have happened this year.
He's a big enough star, yeah.
Well, they could have pushed him more. I don't know.
Oh, no.
They're holding him back because he's Canadian.
Yeah, because Canadians never get over in WWE.
Yeah, they're only just some of the biggest stars ever.
Anyway. Exactly. Yeah, Canadian. So, yeah.
that's just because Canadian wrestlers are trained really well. And yeah, I know I sound biased because I'm Canadian, but I see it all the time.
You know what? I need a drink.
I mean, from Pat Patterson to Kenny Omega, yeah, it's hard to
argue. I need a drink. I'm empty.
Yeah, all right, everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Hey, we're back, bitches. But we're going away for a couple of minutes until we come back again. This is where you get up, stretch your legs, have a nice refreshment break, and you can decide whichever way you want to go with that one. But we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about a couple of injuries. Are we happy about it? Are we upset about it? What does it mean? And, of course, we'll take a look at the Superstar Shakeup in review right here, right after this break.
Every week, we jump into the world of
awesome
with the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs.
This one had to go out and buy all the toys. She lifted my foot up, stuffed it straight up my ass, and said, I don't care. Kid gets toys.
Yeah, check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. available weekly at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that.
Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Who is the greatest hockey player of all time? CB Radio has decided.
Butchering some names. Frank Nyberg versus Joe Nieuwendyken. Nieuwendyk.
I'm going to go with Nieuwendyk.
Yes.
Nieuwendyk. Wow. That is not what it looks like. Sweeney Schneider versus Matt Schmidt.
It's Milt. Not Matt.
Whatever. I figured that was going to help out Team Chat. Finally, someone who has a real name. Brad Park gets Mark Messier.
Messier.
What the hell is
this? Messier. Yeah.
Somebody hang this bitch.
Lynch him. Get a rope.
He has a goddamn R at the end. Screw you.
I can only wait till I get to that Wayne Gretzky guy.
Guy Lafleur versus Lauren Chatbot. You added a T. Yes, I did. On purpose. Brett Hull versus Ray Borku.
Thank you.
York. Bjork?
I fucking think who?
Bjork. Okay, whatever.
Just think of the Swedish chef.
Fischler versus Wayne Gretzky?
Gretzky. I'll be the Gretzky guy.
Way to play into it, Jobber. Way to play into it.
Pavel.
Oh, God.
Wait. Pavel Bure. What? How do they know his mom?
Bure.
Pavel Bure.
Okay.
Oh, my
fucking
God.
French. Jerome Ignilia?
Aginla.
What?
Aginla?
Versus Joe Sakic. That's where I was going to go originally, but I figured it was going to be pronounced differently than I was expecting.
Jerome Aginla, one of the all-time greatest Calgary Flames players of all time.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Joe.
I will just sack it on. I can feel the hatred now for that last one.
You're all idiots.
It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard Saturday nights, midnight-ish Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights, it is the experience known as The Rack.
Can we let us say boo?
Let me check.
I don't know. In the truck, can we say boobs?
We need to get a check.
Hey, Sue.
We need to get a check on boobs.
We need a check on boobs. Please, can you say boobs?
We have a thumbs up on boobs or a thing now.
Boobs are okay.
Any standards and practices people hear, is boobs acceptable? I like boobs. You guys like boobs?
Well, boobs are okay with me.
Apparently, Hunter likes boobs, so are we good with boobs?
Yeah.
Listen to The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
Did you know you can use support the creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Everybody, welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, back after, first show after WrestleMania. Hi, guys.
I don't know who that's directed towards.
Everybody, I guess. I don't know. Whatever.
some people.
There you go. It's not directed at that guy. I don't like him. I don't like him. That guy. I don't like him right there. That guy right there on my TV. Okay, he's gone now. Are you injured, Mike?
No, sir. Not at all. I'm not injured.
Are you injured, Omega?
Emotionally or physically?
Physically.
Physically, I'm okay.
Okay. I'd ask the producer, but he doesn't want to talk because he's too busy playing with himself. I mean, Fortnite. Apparently, the three of us are healthy enough to join the WWE roster to fill some gaping holes.
I respect
Alita
decline.
Was gone.
What? Okay, wait a second. Mike, you first. Go ahead.
I respectfully decline.
There you go. Omega?
I thought Lita was gone.
Excuse me. People are hurt, and it's going to affect the roster a little bit. I don't know. Maybe they should just call the people up from NXT.
Yeah, that's been working out.
That's been helping. Yeah. Okay. So here it is. Big E has a meniscus tear. Nia Jax has got to go for double ACL surgery. Sheamus has a concussion. Daniel Bryan and Jeff Hardy have unknown injuries.
Yeah, and that's only a few.
There's more. But with Big E and the meniscus tear, that'll keep him out, keep him sidelined for a couple of months, hey?
Yeah, it's 6 to 8 weeks on that.
Yeah. I'm still looking and haven't been able to find anybody who's upset with Nia Jax missing time for surgery.
Well, ask Tamina, because it's all she had.
I mean, other than Tamina. I wasn't counting Tamina, but nobody does, so, you know, don't hold it against me. Too bad Sheamus has a concussion, but really, he's become a B-plus player. My big thing here, Daniel Bryan with an undisclosed injury. How many people right now are fearing the worst, and it's a return of the something that had to originally do with his retirement in the first place?
Yeah, that's got me really concerned. Like, WWE just got out from under the whole concussion lawsuits.
Yep.
They finally brushed that off, and this would be a pretty huge deal if they have to walk that back a little bit.
Yeah. Would it be a good thing to find out what's wrong with Daniel Bryan?
I mean, it'd be a good thing, yeah. One of your performers is hurt. Yes, of course it'd be a good thing to find out.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about for the fans, like alleviate the stress and the fears that he's going to have to retire again. Or get, you know, rip the Band-Aid off and let people know that we're looking at a potential career, you know, a second potential career-ending injury.
Yeah. I mean, there's part of me that just wants to find out just so I could, you know, stop thinking about it, just so I can stop worrying. Like, even if it is the worst, like, we've been through this before.
Exactly, my point.
I've already been through this, and like, okay, I would miss him as a performer greatly.
Right.
But his overall health, his long-term life is more important to me.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, we actually, as fans, had the chance to see him come back and compete one more time.
Yeah. We got WrestleMania to WrestleMania. Yeah.
And, for me, if he's got to hang him up again, sad day, but at the same time, your health definitely, that is the most important thing going on.
And you got another chance at it too, so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you actually got a chance to come back. You might not have been able to leave on your own terms.
But, yeah.
But, exactly. Yeah. So. And Jeff Hardy. Well, the guy's almost as old as I am, for crying out loud. I mean, he should just retire anyway.
Yeah. I'm honestly not sure what keeps him going. And I mean that as far as long as how, you know, the age he's getting to and as all the jumps he's taken over the years.
Well, I was going to say meth, but that would be too harsh.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's too bad. Anyway, Big E, are you going to kind of miss him a little bit?
Well, yes, you know, because it's weird to think how long the New Day's gone without like a real sideline injury.
Yep.
Because especially since they've been working more as a comedy act than a serious faction, they've got such amazing longevity out of that gimmick. Mm-hmm. And they've also had really good luck as far as injuries go. So yeah, it's been so long. It's hard for me to see them as a group that's missing a component.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's weird. Like, they've been cohesive for so long. I don't really view them as three guys. I view it as one entity. So to see a third of it gone is just bizarre.
Yep. Oh, this is going to be fun. Let's talk about Nia Jax.
It's karma. Next question.
Karma. No, she's been out for a long time, dude. She's acting in glow now.
Wait, what?
He's talking about karma, not Nia.
Okay. I was about to say, wow.
Like, talk about your stuff. Follow Mike.
Yeah, I watch glow. Glow's actually pretty good. But Nia's getting what she deserves.
I don't think anyone deserves to get injured. I don't think anyone deserves to essentially, put their career at risk.
It's not a case of getting what she deserves. It's, you said it earlier, it's karma. Karma is never something that comes around and rewards somebody for being a good Samaritan. Yeah. Karma is a bitch. And if you're nasty towards somebody, nasty's gonna come back and bite you in the ass. Or in this case, where your ACL happens to be, which would be the knees.
Not one, but both.
And there's a really bad joke hanging around there somewhere about Nia Jax having to have, having bad knees, but I'm not going to tell the joke.
Please don't.
I kind of heard without doing it.
She's a heavy girl with a very physical job. Mm. What joke are you talking about?
Yeah, you know exactly, and you're deliberately ignoring it and doing a very admirable job of it. I'm impressed. But, explain how Nia Jax is on the main roster.
Because she's not like most girls.
She's not like most girls.
Because I presume it's because Vince's fetish for giant human beings got involved.
I'm enjoying how you guys are being deliberately, obstinately obtuse on purpose. It's great.
No idea what you're talking about.
I disagree, but moving on. Sheamus, him and his concussion, I mean, losing Sheamus, is that really huge? When you break up the bar and then he's, on the injury list afterwards, does it matter?
Well, I kind of feel like that happened because he got put on the injury list.
No. This is quite likely, the reason for it. I don't want to sound like I'm belittling, or making light or downplaying Sheamus in any role or respect or anything like that, but he hasn't exactly had the greatest go as a singles competitor. I mean, he shows up and he's accused of only winning the title because he's, Triple H's workout partner when he debuts on the main roster.
Yeah. And Sheamus himself has been fine. Like he's a good enough performer and worker, and there's been moments where like I've been a fan, but he's never really excelled. Like anytime he had the title, it just felt kind of forced. Like he's got the physical traits, but he doesn't have the charisma to hold the belt or have a major story focus.
Well, again, it's not a knock or anything like that. I mean, you pointed out it's the charisma and the personality, and such. It's not that he doesn't have one. It's just, it's not going over well. And his best work has been with, Cesaro, first as opponents and then as, reluctant partners and then, as willing co-combatants.
It is weird that they kind of merged to the point where Cesaro doesn't have theme music anymore.
Yeah.
He's just using the bars, which is Sheamus's music.
Mm. So, yeah, I don't know. Well, they got to figure something out, and who knows, maybe the shakeup will help a little bit. Let's take a quick look. Winding up on the Raw roster, you got Miz, Ricochet, the Viking Experience Raiders, Rey Mysterio, the Usos, Naomi, Eric Young, Lacey Evans, Cedric Alexander, EC3, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, and Cesaro. Did Raw get better or worse?
Well, you gained something in Miz, who's gaining a lot more momentum now.
Yeah.
You got AJ and Joe, which is a fantastic thing to have in the rosters. Usos as well. I don't think the Viking War Experience Raiders Warriors have hit them and Ricochet, especially. They've been around.
Yes.
It doesn't feel like Raw has lost them or anything, or Raw has gained them, because we've seen them on Raw.
Mm-hmm. They come up onto the roster and go back and forth, and it's like, well, okay, you're not a member of any brand, but now you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I think that Raw has enough big name fresh blood, if you will. Maybe it'll help invigorate some storylines a little bit, but they're big focus, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, Omega, moving to Fox, the big focus has to be SmackDown. And you look at some of these names, they got Finn Balor, Ember Moon, Bayley, Kairi Sane, Lars Sullivan, Elias, Buddy Murphy, Roman Reigns, Liv Morgan, Chad Gable, Andrade, Zelina, Aleister Black, Apollo Crews, Mickey James, Heavy Machinery, Jinder Mahal, with the Singh brothers, and of course the B team. That's stacking SmackDown's roster, in my opinion.
And there's a lot there that I think benefit a lot from the move. You know, I'm very happy that Bayley's off of Raw, where she might be able to flourish a lot more. She's away from Sasha. And so writers don't have that temptation. Just throw them together and call it a day. Roman, of course, is the huge one.
Yep.
But a lot here, a lot of them here are, you know, when I look at some of these names like Andrade and Gable, Liv, Black, Finn, Ember, these are people with a lot of long-term growth that you can do really big things with the right build.
Yep.
These are people that you can have a long-term plan for and build something into, you know, build something that is worthy of like the big, you know, being on the big show.
Mm-hmm. Well, each brand has always had certain wrestlers that you would consider, if it was like a sports team, that would be their core. You would not expect them to move. I mean, we've seen Triple H spent like one day on SmackDown before he got traded back to Raw, right? For example, but you would never expect to see certain wrestlers switch brands, like Roman Reigns going to SmackDown. What?
Yeah, that, well, that speaks about how much they're willing to put into this move to Fox.
Yep.
That's your big name, the one you're going to pin your entire future on, and he's on the B show. Now, to be fair, WWE's done this before. You know, the first brand split put Brock Lesnar on SmackDown.
Yeah.
You know, and they've moved John Cena to SmackDown before. They're not afraid of putting the big names on the B show in order to elevate it. But now they are in a position.
Didn't John Cena start on SmackDown?
He started on SmackDown. He went to Raw, went back.
Yeah.
But this is a point where now they have to turn the B show into the A show because it's going to get a lot more attention.
Because it's going to be the big show.
Yeah. Well, because it's going to be on network and a lot more people are going to have access to it.
Yep. And so, yeah, you know, they kind of have to stack the roster a little bit. But doing that, yeah, you see Miz going to Raw. Well, does that mean that the feud with Shane is over and we saw it? No. It doesn't mean that, right?
Go ahead.
It's just a quick little point. Miz switching brands during the shakeup just means that a shakeup happened. Because Miz is the one name that is switched in every single shakeup.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much, just about, yeah.
But continue.
Yeah. Now, with this whole superstar shakeup, with this whole... The one that stands out for me, Alexander Wolf.
Going to the NXT UK.
Yes.
Okay.
Because...
I said so.
One. But literally, the best stable in NXT UK right now. I'm a huge Walter fan. For those of you who do not know who Walter is... Oh.
That's one massive German.
Yeah. And it's so cool. And his stable.
And it's Walter, not Walter.
Yes. His stable consists. It is. Crap. Let me get it. But it is Alexander Wolf. The stable's name is called Emporium.
Imperium.
That right there, the mat is sacred. That right there is just a Smash style wrestling and just pure athletes. The words cannot describe. That was the best move for Alexander Wolf to go back home and to do the damn thing. Sorry. I just love it, man.
Well, good. Of course, we had some tag teams that got broke up during this shakeup, and we're talking about Aleister Black with Ricochet, Riot Squad, Sanity, The Bar, Gable and Rude.
Gable and Rude, I see that as a good thing for both.
It is, but the one thing that I'm disappointed about, and I made a snide comment about it jokingly back around December or something, that those two were going to wind up eventually getting on each other's nerves to the point where there's going to be a major war between them as early as WrestleMania, but probably no later than Money in the Bank. That's not happening now.
Well, no.
I wanted it to happen. Didn't think it was going to happen. But now we know it won't.
No. We got a glimpse of Chad Gable as a singles competitor during his match with Kurt Angle. And the fact that him and Apollo both got picked, handpicked by Angle to be part of his farewell tour. And that's a huge rub. That's a huge feather in the cap. And Chad held his own. Chad looked great in that match.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, that's one of those matches where you kind of prove what you can do, but he couldn't do it as long as he's stuck in that tag team on Raw. And likewise, Robert Roode, as he is now known, the best way I saw someone put it was on Twitter, where more or less said that he looked like the guy who's now dating your divorced mom. He's not your stepdad yet, but he wants to be friends with you.
Porn stash.
But no, he works best as a.
Wait a second. You said porn stash, but it's the other side of that would be 80s action movies, B team Hollywood bad guy that gets beat up by Schwarzenegger.
He looks like a stunt double for Tom Selleck.
Oh, I think you nailed it.
But no, it's good for him. He works best as a solo heel.
A stunt double for Tom Selleck in the 80s or today?
No, not today.
But I don't know. There are only two teams I'm kind of sort of disappointed that got broken up out of all of those guys. What about you, Omega?
I mean, not especially. Like, I did like the Bar together, but they hadn't done anything with them in a long time. Like,
true.
Black and Ricochet worked well together, but
yeah.
They need to shine solo. Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed in Sanity.
Yeah.
Because they never gave him a shot.
Yep.
They never gave him any kind of opportunity on the main roster whatsoever. Never used him. And beyond that, the only one left would be the Riot Squad. I'm not disappointed by that.
Okay, because you just the last two you talked about are the two that I'm disappointed about: the Riot Squad and Sanity.
I explained Sanity. I'm not really disappointed in the Riot Squad breaking up because they use them, but they don't win. Ruby's only got like one win this year on TV.
Yeah,
and that was back in February, but they still use them every week. It's a three-person stable that has no credibility or intimidation to them whatsoever because they never, ever win.
And the way I see it, they're going to push Ruby. Ruby's going to get over, and the other two girls are going to basically be auditioning for AEW in 6 months.
No.
Okay, they're the Marty Jannetty of the threesome.
Oh, God.
No, Tim, you're wrong.
Ruby's going to get pushed. Ruby's going to get a solo push.
Yep.
Sarah's husband is on Raw now. Like, mm-hmm. I could easily see her becoming the third of the Viking Experience.
It would be nice, but because WWE's not thinking like that, no.
Well, they are, because that's why they put Andrade back on SmackDown, because he's dating Charlotte. That's why the Viking Experience Raiders Warriors are on Raw, because they made a specific point to keep all the married couples together. So, they know what they're doing there. But no, on SmackDown, I could see Liv Morgan holding her own very well.
And just to devalue Tim's point even more, Ruby Riott on Main Event lost to Dana Brooke.
Oh.
My job here is done.
Jeez. Contrary to what you like to think, you did not hurt me with that announcement. So there.
Moving on, because no one else is talking. Is it time to talk about the Funhouse?
Oh God! Boy. I almost forgot.
Okay, how many of us have a rant about this?
Really? Cool. All right, no one has a rant. All right, we're done. Bye.
I should actually ask who doesn't have a rant. I got something to say. I'll say it.
Then go,
okay.
Tim.
Okay. Okay.
This is a 100% complete total piss me off. They had potential gold with Bray Wyatt's original character, and they fucked it up big time. They didn't get him over the way they could have gotten him over, and had they gotten him over, he would have been a huge, gigantic monster. And the whole thinking was he's going to wind up being the new gimmick to replace The Undertaker full time. And they could have done that. But whether it was deliberate or because they had no clue what they had, they wound up dropping the ball with Bray Wyatt and his original character. And this is one of the biggest, saddest failures I have witnessed in professional wrestling. When you don't realize what you've got right in front of you and you let it walk, or you destroy it, or because of your ineptness, you let it fade away. And the guy who plays that character goes and gets himself a Ragnar Lodbrok Viking haircut and comes back looking like some kind of twisted Pee Wee Herman.
His life also went to shit for the last 2 years. Divorce will do that. Just saying.
The Firefly Funhouse promo, Bray Wyatt in a gull shirt. Are you fucking kidding me? Jesus H. Christ, no. Whatever this winds up being, it's already got me hating it.
Why? What did you, from taking it all in context, what has you hating it?
Well, I kind of sort of already...
No, you mentioned his look. Beyond that...
No, I'm not talking about the look. I'm talking about what they had potentially and dropped the ball with, and they come back with some weird... Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse knockoff looking son of a bitchin' thing. It just looks really, really, really bad. Not good.
But why?
It wasn't entertaining. It was very, very dumb. It was bad. It's got me ready to automatically turn the channel when they finally bring him on to TV without even finding out any more of the character.
Okay, that's one.
It's a bad first impression.
Mike, what was your first impression?
Hmm?
Cool. Omega, what was your first impression?
My first impression seeing it?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day for...
Captain Kangaroo went off the deep end, man. No, honestly, this is entirely what I expected. And that's going to sound like bullshit, but I've got somewhere in Skype with Lindsay where I said, if they go with like a deranged kids show host on this, don't be surprised.
Welcome to Happy Smile Time.
Because here's the thing. Bray is so protective of his kind of character. I don't think he would do this unless he knew that there was a reason and a payoff. The vignettes that came before this. Okay, we got a silly one with the buzzard, but the doll was fucking creepy as hell.
And they've spent a good amount of money on these props, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's like an actual horror expert who's doing the directing, who made all of the props and set all this up. There's a plan for it. It's weird enough that it makes me go, I really want to know what they're doing next, because there is hints of the sinister element behind it, and because I know where the DNA of this comes from. Because I have seen, like, I described it before. I'll describe it to Tim and Mike now. If you ever see a YouTube series called Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared, that plays itself off as a kids show, and it's very much comes across like that for a while, but it adds such a sinister, dark twist to it that it's really fucking freaky. On the second viewing, when you know what's underneath the surface, it's even worse somehow. That's in right now. If you look at that video, you search it on YouTube right now, millions, tens of millions of views for these videos. That's what's in. And if they're trying to tap that, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, there is a market for that, and there is a reason for going into that direction right now. I kind of want to see what it comes to. And you know what? If it fails, so what? Like, you can see... Oh, follow the buzzard. That's where the buzzard is. Okay. Abby, that's Abigail. Okay. The elements of Bray's psyche is there.
We're already living in his head, basically, through this.
Yeah. So, like, if this fails, if this goes belly up and no one responds to it, fine. You know, they pull the emergency chute and we get Firefly Bray Wyatt back.
But based on reaction from Monday and Tuesday, this could be around for a bit. People were invested in this. That's something you haven't seen in a while with him.
2.7 million views on YouTube and almost 90% positive.
That's what they like to hear.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's court of public opinion. People are responding to it.
When you shock people like Seth Rollins and Cesaro on this, you're doing something right, because they saw it They didn't know what they were going to see. They were filming something for Up, Up, Down, Down, and they showed footage on .com this week. It's like, oh my God, this is great. It wasn't what I was expecting, but they love it. You got to go into it with an open mind. Like, you do everything. It could be really good.
Well, it goes to a point that I've always had that I held when I was booking my shows, that I hold when we talk about what's going on with wrestling, WWE or whatever promotion we might be talking about. You can't write something for everybody. It's impossible. It's like trying to please, when you try to please everybody, you're going to please nobody. You can please most of the people half the time and half the people most of the time. But you're not going to please everybody all the time. And not everything is going to be everybody's cup of tea. That's why shows like this are as diverse as they are. And there are different elements of different things because different folks get off on different strokes. And from what I've seen so far with the Firefly Funhouse, it doesn't look like it's going to be my thing. I have been wrong before. I have admitted when I was not into something from first viewing, but got into it after I've gone back to it and restarted to give it that, you know, chance. Maybe this will happen with that.
All right,
but one thing is for sure. Nobody liked Katie Vick.
Okay. So, Mike, you've had time to gather your thoughts. I'm just going to ignore him and Katie Vick. Thoughts, Mike?
They dropped the ball.
How?
Like, with the whole, there's questions on my mind. Like, why did we want to switch from this to that? That's one. Two.
From this, you mean old Bray to this Bray?
Yes. I mean, granted, you know, things time for change and whatnot, you know, things change in the WWE. But it was like, you guys really didn't give him a chance to be Bray Wyatt, because if you look at FCW Bray Wyatt, accent and everything, and then when he won the WWE Championship, yo, that was short-lived, and he could have did a whole lot. And now...
You know what happened when he won the WWE Championship?
Life.
Yep. Let's talk about that. Life. Life happened to him at that exact moment, the highest point. Life smacked him hard.
Yeah, he got taxed, and I get that. But it's like, now...
But you said drop the ball, right?
WWE, to me, dropped the ball, because with the Firefly Funhouse, with the Papa Beaver story time, I really don't see this going over, personally.
Omega just dropped numbers to say they didn't drop a ball.
They
got people talking about him, and they haven't talked about him in 8 months.
True.
And even longer than that.
But...
So he had to reinvent himself, or he was done. Whether this sinks or swims, they did something to get people talking about him, and I think that they should be commended for that at the start. Because when was the last time you wanted to have an actual conversation about Bray Wyatt?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Good question. All right. Next question.
No, like that's how this has to hit. It's when was the last time you seriously wanted to have a conversation about him?
Well, Bray Wyatt is by far one of the most intelligent minds for creativity and for promo cutting in this time of WWE. I see that, you know, it's just he was like you said, life happened, poor decisions happened. That was his fault on that part. Nevertheless, I can't see him being Mr. Rogers.
But he's not going to be.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I guess I just have to give it a chance.
Just go into it with an open mind, and you see what you see on the surface, but watch the finer details of everything, because that's where you learn everything from this Firefly Funhouse.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw his gloves.
There's gloves and just the little things. You think Mr. Rogers was running around with a chainsaw hacking things? Let's think about this for a second. There's elements that are gonna pop from this character, and hopefully it's good.
Oh Lord.
Anyway, Tim, back to you.
I'm sorry.
Back to you, Tim.
I don't have anything else.
Anyone else have an opinion about the Firefly Funhouse? Anything else to add? Cool. Okay.
We're done now. So basically that's all she wrote. We actually got through an episode, and we actually did an edition of WTR Sunday Night. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Don't forget tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's the post show.
It's Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern. What, you want more than that?
I believe.
Well, no, it's just that music is a little too loud.
All right, hold on.
There you go. Yeah, of course, Fortnite with friends.
Every Thursday and Saturday.
Speaking about Thursdays, the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rock radio show with the multi-time, multi-award-winning host, Lindsay Ward, Thursday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern.
Okay, so that's our normal time. This week, you'll have an episode available on Thursday. We'll not be live, but there'll be an episode on Thursday. You can also check out The Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Episode 10 now available. Episode 11 should be available on Tuesday or Wednesday. So you can check that out. It's Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Alrighty then. Saturday night's midnight-ish, or as close as we get to it, all times Eastern. Another edition of The Wild, the Wacky, the Unusual. They cut off their hand just to get away from the silver dude. CB Radio.
Go check out last night's Greater Than Great debate on trees.
You guys debated trees? Are you kidding me?
128 trees.
Which one won?
Go
to listen to the archives and you will find out.
At CBRadioLive.com.
There you go. Next Sunday night, do we have to get ready for a pay-per-view yet?
Nope.
Then we might be doing a show just about other shit. Maybe. We'll talk about Tim and Owen's experience at Avengers Endgame.
Or other things next Sunday night.
Or maybe not. Yeah, I don't know.
Next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Next Sunday night at 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. As of right now, there's no, it's not set in stone, but we'll probably do a short little webcast. You never know. Stay tuned to social media to find out. How do you do that? Well, by following me at Flames Forums, unless you want to see my political, uncensored, no holds barred, politically incorrect side, then follow my other Twitter account at Voicing Sanity. And of course, you can keep on top of everything going on with the Wild Talk Radio Network if you follow at Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter, at WTR Sunday Night on the Twitter for Rust Talk Radio. Of course, check out our Facebook pages at facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, Facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night. I think that I got the plugs right.
Make sure you follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTR Live. And now, Mike, plug your stuff.
All right, yeah, if you want to hit me up, The Revival, on the Twitter page, the WTR Oreo, Fuck The Revival, or you can look at my thing on the YouTube page, Powerhouse Championship Wrestling, Arya Stark. And then also you can look at a thing on Facebook called Dragon Honor Wrestling, Fuck The Revival. Back to you guys.
Omega.
There you go.
Yeah.
Go.
All right, so if you want to follow what I am doing throughout the week, you can follow me most places under one name. If you want to follow me on Facebook, go to TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, you can find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel with over 1,000 videos worth of content. And for the videos that are too hot for YouTube, or just too profane, there is always TJOmega.net.
And I dare you right now to Google TJ Omega and see what comes up. Images afterwards.
No.
You'll see Transformer toys.
This has been another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll see you next Sunday night, right, Tim?
Good night, everybody.
WildTalkRadio.com.